Thank you for tuning in to the Gospel Update. My name is Dustin McRickard. If you were with us last week, we were speaking with Glenn Colley. Glenn Colley's came up with a program that he's came up with about dealing with pornography and an addiction to pornography. Glenn was just speaking to us about consequences to the actions of those who have made this agreement with your accountability partner and how there is a need to have consequences for that. So let's go back to the interview with Mr. Glenn Colley.
I've had, I don't know if you want this detail. Let me explain this. I've had occasions where a man would say, we received I got the mail yesterday and went to the mailbox, got the mail, and there was an advertisement there for some clothing store. And on the front, there were women that weren't, they were ill-clad, if you please. And he said, and I saw that, and I don't know, you know, I shouldn't have looked at it. I looked at it, and so I'm confessing that to you. Well, you know, I don't want him oogling those women. However, I raise that for an example. There may be an occasion where I don't think his violation rises to the level that I want to hit him with the hard stuff. So, you know, in a case like that, I may do something lesser. I always have the option as the accountability partner to put him down to 0 days again. So the clock is set when we start at 365 days, 1 year. So he may be, you know, if he's 50 days into it, 50 days is a long time. So if you do something that I believe warrants that kind of consequence, that's another thing in my pocket I can use.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, we're going to keep going with this, but you're put back at 0 days. We're going to start over. Okay. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be, you know, this is about tough love, Dustin. This is about, you know, frankly, I think the accountability partner has to have a little grit to it to make it work. I don't think you need to get your close friend to be your accountability partner. Because he'll compromise, out of your friendship. So don't get a close friend. Get somebody who knows you and somebody you respect, and preferably somebody that you would hate to disappoint, and who will hold you accountable. So, you know, I'm not. If a guy violates it, we're going to apply what I think are the necessary consequences based on what's happened. If it's just an egregious example of giving way to the sin again, then we're just going to fulfill whatever it is that we agreed to at the beginning. We're going to pull that trigger. That's what you have to do. If it's something lesser, we're going to work through that. But you know what? If a man is just, and I've faced this before, if a man wants to, he doesn't really want to stop bad enough. And so he's going to keep cycling through sin, and he's going to say, oh, you know, to his accountability partner, I'm sorry, you know, I'll do better. But he keeps on cycling, then he's wasting my time. And I don't mean that in a prideful way, but what I'm going to say to him is, you know what, I'm not the person you need. I'm not helping you any. This is not working, and so you're going to have to find something else. So if I can help him, we're going to do this till the cows come home. You know, I'm going to help him see it through the end, and but if he's not really committed to it, I'm not going to play the game with him.
And I think you've made a good point there. And it, when it comes to you asking for forgiveness of your sin, you know, you at the moment you truly have to mean that. And a lot of times with brethren, and like you said, it's that cycle, you know, that you fall. And I mean, we all sin, fall short of the glory of God. Don't get me wrong, Romans 3:23, but if we are truly striving to do better, and we're going to try to work hard for that, whatever it takes. You know, when you brought up a good point with about, you know, the advertisement and all that, and I think it becomes a harder task, especially with the issue of modesty, which is a whole other subject. But
yes,
and I think that will always be an issue, as I've heard other preachers say, and almost in the same sense of my mindset was, you almost got to make a covenant with your eyes saying, I'm not going to look at anything like that. If I see something.
That's what Job says.
Right, right. Exactly. And I'm going to look away. I'm going to look away from those things. You know, a lot of times if I'm getting stuff ready for, either a PowerPoint or something like that along those lines. You could type in Google, type in images. You have no idea nowadays what can come up over simplest terms. And I think that's why, as we talked about, that's how kids get involved with it. They're not looking for it. It pops up. But you do have to make that covenant with your eyes, saying that, there's something going on over there. I took a glance. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to look at that, and focus on what your main goal is, and that is to please our Father, to please our Heavenly Father. It goes back to Philippians 4:8,
Pornography as an addictive drug, and that's what it is worse, in my opinion, in many ways, than alcohol or some sort of illicit substance, cocaine. Those are terrible, terrible addictive substances. But the difference is that every man is not tempted by alcohol. Every man is not tempted by cocaine. James 1 says about verse 12 and 13 that every man is tempted of his own lust and enticed, and we're different about what tempts us. But I think this is one that every man is tempted with. And the reason is that God made us that way. And it's interesting to me that in the scriptures, when you have prohibitions about adultery or particularly about looking on a member of the opposite sex with lust, it's always gender specific. Every time it's always about a man looking on a woman and not the other way around. Now, if you're married any length of time, you really understand that, how that we're different about that. And God wired us that way in order that we would be drawn to our wives. In a normal marriage, a man can't stay away from his wife for very long. He needs her sexually, and he needs looking at her is something that he is that's part of him. Now, God did that, and it I guess all of us have thought that through, that it's just amazing that a normal man can look at another man. He has no feelings of any kind of sexual nature, but if he looks at a woman, that's he's attracted to that. Now, why is that true? Well, it's only true for one reason. It's because God made us that way. But then he did it for one reason. That was to draw husbands and wives closer together, and it works that way. That's what it's good for, and it's a blessing. But it is shrouded in commands of God. He means to regulate that. So whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery. That's Matthew 5 and 28. But Proverbs chapter 5 says, about your wife, let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou always intoxicated with her love. So there's a dramatic difference. So this is about self-control. It's about focusing on your wife, and she is to be your only sexual outlet. She's to be your one and only. And when you do it God's way, I mean, I want to say to you that God has saved for us His very best. His very best in creation, with reference to the subject we're talking about, is monogamy. It is one man for one woman for life. It is abstinence before marriage. It's monogamy within marriage. She is yours, and you are hers. And that's. I'm telling you, that's the very best. When we step outside of that, it will always be to our own harm.
And I think what you have a great book out there. You Are the Song That I Sing, and as we brought up last time, and that as a I recommend it to everyone who is as a married couple to read that book and definitely study
Thank
that
you.
book. It's got those study questions. I use it to this day with premarital counseling and even marital counseling to this day. That is the book I recommend. I say you need to read this because it's full of just great information on, and especially as couples, they'll come to me and they said, "We thought we were the only ones," and I go, "No, you're not." And that's always been a as a couple, they would always say that at the same time, they would say, "We thought this was the we were the only ones struggle with this." I said, "No, it's every marriage will have certain issues, and a lot of times it's the same issues over and over." And so it's a definitely good book. You can find that on the website. I know Amazon's got it even, but the Colley House also has it, so you can pick up a copy there. Unfortunately, we're gonna have to pause with this interview for on the Gospel Update, and be sure to tune in next week as we finish up this interview with Glenn Colley. Take care and God bless.